In this speech, Ian, Barack Obama said no single speech can eradicate years of mistrust. But how far do you think this speech will have gone towards that?
Well, you know, I thought it was a very good speech. I thought, in general terms, his call for a new beginning and the talk of peace and understanding and mutual comprehension and not being defined by differences, I thought that was all really powerful stuff. And it was delivered with passion and precision in a setting that was very appropriate and will have, I think, a huge resonance.
It was classic Barack Obama, wasn't it?
It was a classic Barack Obama. It was a terrific performance. It was much more, however, about tone than substance. I think the tone was very important because all the things we've just mentioned were there. You know, tolerance, mutual understanding, an end to bigotry, a determination to fight violence, and all those things. Where I think it will disappoint some people was that there were very few specifics on the hot-button issues that people care about in the Muslim and Arab worlds. Again, the tone on Israel and the Palestinians, on Iran, on democracy, on women's rights, and all those things, on the place of Muslims in American culture, that was all good stuff. But on the policy questions, there was really nothing very much new. And I think in the Arab world in particular, in the countries that are close to and obsessed by the Palestinian issue, I think that although the message to Israel on settlement was strong, as has come out in the last few days, the overall the absence of any concrete proposals will be seen to be a drawback, I think. Though, you know, the speech has only ended a few minutes ago, and we shall have to see.
And yet he did confront some of the most difficult issues that divide Americans and the Muslim and Arab world head on.
He confronted them, but he also sidestepped them to some extent. For example, when he talked about democracy in the Arab world, he talked about democracy passionately, about the rule of law and accountable government and not taking votes for granted and then ruling for life. But he didn't mention any countries. He didn't mention Egypt, for example, where, of course, he was giving the speech, which is an authoritarian country where the political system is a sort of facade, really, of democracy and ruled by a president for life who has very little tolerance for the sort of ideals that Obama was talking about. So he was enunciating general principles in a very laudable way: transparency, confidence in equal administration, justice, the freedom to choose. He says those are not just American ideas, they're human rights, and that's why we will support them everywhere. But what support was far less than clear in real terms. That's the sort of gap, I think, between the laudable rhetoric that everybody can sign up to and any kind of reality. He also gave Obama a very, very strong defense of America's unbreakable relationship with Israel. That's the sort of language that raises hackles in the Arab world. He rightly, I think, and courageously attacked what he called baseless, ignorant, and hateful denial of the Nazi Holocaust. That's, of course, aimed very much at the Iranian president, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. But he also, you know, he used powerful language for the Palestinians, too. He described their life under occupation as intolerable. At the same time, he, you know, called on Hamas, the Islamist movement in Gaza, to abandon violence. So, you know, there's some powerful words there, but very little in the way of concrete policies. But, you know, as you say, Obama had made that point himself. A single speech couldn't be expected to change anything. The tone was impressive, certainly.